There are things that concern me about our nation at the present time. The first one is that the powers that be are in a state of denial as to the root of the problem. The powers that be are in a state of denial. No one is prepared to say the I word. Islam. No one is prepared to say the M word. Muslim. You know by now, I'm sure you do, the bomber who murdered those 22 young people and parents and everyone who was cut down on Monday night, the bomber was a devout Muslim. He had learned the Quran off by heart. But yet why is it that those in public office are not prepared just to say it? Because the dogs in the street know that it's the case, that it's the truth. And Andy Burnham, who is the mayor of Manchester, he came out after the bombing. He said the bomber is not a Muslim, he's a terrorist. Well, I mean, dear friends, that's just a state of denial. There is an elephant in the room, and nobody seems to see the elephant. Nobody wants to admit that the elephant is there. There are not too many people like old Winston Churchill. You know what Churchill said about Islam? He said that it's as dangerous as rabies in a dog. I didn't say that. Winston Churchill said that. I don't think he was too far off the mark. I reckon he was pretty accurate. Any religion that would make you strap explosives to yourself and go into a concert where there's children and young people and blow them to smithereens, I reckon that's a dangerous religion. And I reckon that somebody sooner or later has to speak the truth. You know, the greatest example of a man who spoke the truth was our blessed Lord Jesus himself. Because when you read John chapter 18, you read the words of the Lord Jesus as he stood before Pilate. John 18 and verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Mark those words. "For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Jesus came to speak the truth. And dear friends, don't be afraid to speak the truth, even if your voice shakes. I am alarmed at the powers that be who are in the state of denial. I'm also alarmed and I'm concerned at the failure of the state to punish evildoers and protect its citizens. You see, that's the duty of a government, to punish evildoers, number one, and to protect its citizens, number two. Or you could reverse the order. It's really six of one, half a dozen of the other, but they're both equally important, and both of these are the duties of the powers that be. Punish the evildoers, protect the citizens. But I believe in 2017 in our United Kingdom that these things are not happening, that the powers that be, the authorities, are not doing these two things. You see, dear friends, the way we are at the present time after a terrorist attack, what do we do? What does our nation do? Well, people stand up and read poems. People write hashtags on Twitter. People hold candlelit vigils. Do you think Islamic terrorists would be shaking in their boots at such things? I don't think so. Actually, I think they're laughing at us. The government has to fight back. In Romans chapter 13, we have read it tonight. And I mean, some people say, well, you know, don't just stand up and give your own opinions and talk about Manchester and leave out the Bible. Well, I'm not doing that tonight. I'm turning you to Scripture. And in Romans chapter 13, turn back to it there. In verse 4. For he is the minister of God. Now that's the government, the powers that be, the state. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And so the powers that be are to execute revenge on Islamic bombers and any other terrorist, IRA, UVF, whoever you care to mention, FARC guerrillas, whatever terrorists, the government are there to judge them and to punish them. And to, as the saying goes, to put the fear of God into them. God's word says the powers that be are to terrorize the terrorists. Did you get that? Terrorize the terrorists. But it ain't happening. There's something radically wrong. Wouldn't that make you get to your knees and just fall on your face before the Lord and pray about the election that's coming up? And just pray that somehow the Lord would just turn the tables on all the politically correct, liberal, God-hating politicians that seem to always be elected to Westminster? But then some people just, you know, shrug the shoulders and say, not too bothered, just carry on merrily, same as always. Not bother getting into the closet at home to pray, or not bother with a prayer meeting. Just not even on the radar. Thirdly, the moral state of the nation. Surely every Christian in this church, surely every true Christian in Ulster tonight, and every true Christian born again in the United Kingdom tonight, should be concerned and alarmed at the moral state of the nation. Do you ever notice after a terrorist attack that people now say, my thoughts are with the families affected, the victims, but they don't say thoughts and prayers anymore? You notice that? You've got to look closely and listen carefully, or you might miss it. People used to say our thoughts and prayers are with those affected. Now, the vast majority of people, and particularly leaders in our nation, just say thoughts and forget about the prayers. Don't mention the prayers. You see, God is an embarrassment today. And people don't even want to acknowledge that he exists. And that's the prevailing attitude of our day, and therefore we have descended into a moral cesspit. You know, dear friends, our nation has told the Lord Jesus to go away. Do you remember some time ago on the Sunday evening that we read from Mark chapter 5? And you know there, the miracle that took place. The man who was demon possessed. He was totally out of control. And he was running around the graveyard and around the coast of the Sea of Galilee, around the shores, and just terrifying everyone that he came in contact with. But then the lovely Lord Jesus came along. And what do we read at the end of it? The man was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Jesus changed him. But what do you read after that? I'll tell you what you read. They asked him to depart out of their coasts. They besought him, is the word in the King James Bible, to depart out of their coasts. Jesus, leave us alone. You're not welcome here. You know, I believe that has happened in our nation. I don't really know when it first happened. I don't really know when the rot first set in, but it definitely the rot has taken fast hold today. And it's just like Jeremiah chapter 2 that we read earlier. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Our nation has forsaken the fountain of living waters. You know, dear friends, I believe whenever we forsake the Lord as a country, when we turn our backs on the Lord as a country, when we turn our backs on the Bible as a country, when we turn our backs on the gospel as a country, do you know what I believe happens? I believe that our loving, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father removes the shield from the nation. I mean, do you not think fair? That's fair? I mean, I'd say fair's fair. If we don't want anything to do with him, then why should he protect us? If only people would realize that when they follow the Lord Jesus and abide by his inspired word and order their lives according to his inspired word, if only they realized that the Lord will protect them and be a shield unto them. Ah, if only our leaders realized that. But then does not the Bible say the leaders of this people do cause them to err? The leaders of this people do cause them to err. The concert on Monday night was a very immoral concert. I don't know whether you know much about that young lady, Ariana Grande. But if you're to go to her website tonight, and I don't recommend you do it, but her on the homepage of her website there is lesbian imagery, and I'm not even going to go into it in any more detail and say anything more. But it's blatant there on the website. And if you're to examine some of the lyrics to her songs, it's just filth. And then you get parents who drop their children off to a concert like that. So sad. So incredibly sad. But I suppose it's not really any surprise when you think about the city of Manchester, who over this last year has had an openly gay Lord Mayor. A man who in 2001 was voted Mr. Gay UK. He has boasted during this last year of going around schools, speaking to children as young as 6 about equality and LGBT issues, he said that was the best part of his year in office. Now you think about that for a moment. Poisoning the minds of 6-year-old children. Polluting their little minds. What did the Lord Jesus say about people who offended little children? I'll tell you what he said. A millstone necklace should be put around their neck and cast into the sea. Oh, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Charles Wesley wrote that hymn, and I have a lot of respect for Wesley, and he wrote some great hymns, but I disagree with that hymn. The Lord Jesus, when he needed to be, he was anything but mild. And especially when it came to little children. And people who would hurt little children, oh, he had the severest condemnation for them. We all love the children, don't we? How would you feel if that man came to your school and started to talk to your children about such abomination? I mean, think about it. He led Manchester Pride last year, Pride Parade last year. It was the biggest ever gay Pride Parade in the city. Jeremy Kyle was a part of the parade. You know the man on the TV, ITV in the mornings. You'd have to have very little to do to watch his programs. I mean, you're hard up for soup when you boil the dishcloth, honestly. You can actually go onto the internet. You can see a video of Jeremy Kyle standing, heckling a man that I know. I don't know him personally, but I know him. And I know that he takes a stand for the Lord, and where someone needs to lift up Christ and let the light of the gospel shine, that brother will be there. And Jeremy Kyle is over with him and the other Christians, ridiculing them, criticizing them for being so bigoted and so full of hatred, as he calls it. Well, like, hold on a minute, friends. I mean, sharing the gospel, is that being hateful? It's the most loving thing that anyone could ever do. Manchester United, the football club. I'm not trying to put anybody's nose out of joint who's a Manchester United supporter. But did you know that in the month of March this year that Manchester United became the first sports team to partner with Stonewall in what they called a groundbreaking initiative? The most successful team in British football history announced that they would work with the charity to tackle LGBT issues in sport and society. And just to be even-handed about it, Manchester City as well, in the year 2006, they became the first club to join a list of employers which are officially recognised as gay-friendly by Stonewall. My dear friends, can you see the context of what happened last Monday night? There's a city that has totally turned its back on the Lord. And is it any wonder then that you have children going to concerts and parents dropping their children off at concerts that parents should never ever drop their children off at? Let me finish off tonight. There's one other thing that alarms me at the present time. It may alarm you. The state of Christianity in England. I could well say the state of Christianity in the whole of the United Kingdom, because we're not far behind England. The spiritual decline over here is nearly as bad as on the mainland. But let me speak specifically for a moment or two as we finish about the state of Christianity in England. Did you know that That bomber who murdered those 22 people on Monday night that he worshipped in what's known as Didsbury Mosque in Manchester, it was originally Albert Park Methodist Chapel. You get that? That mosque was originally a Methodist church. It was opened in 1883, but in 1962 it was closed and was later converted into a mosque. Think about not only Manchester, but Londonistan. You know where that is? Londonistan. Oh, sorry, I meant London. Since 2001, 500 Christian churches have closed in the city of London. 423 new mosques have been opened. Would you agree that Christianity in England is definitely on a slide? Would you agree that Islam is on the march? Would you agree that we need to pray? What is going to stop Islam? There's only one thing that can stop it, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then 1529, Islam was stopped. If you read your history books, Islam was taking over vast swathes of Europe. Do you know what stopped it? Wait for it. The Protestant Reformation. Christ alone. Grace alone. Faith alone. Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. That's what stopped Islam. Has the gospel changed? We have changed. We change so often, we change with the weather. But the gospel, thank God, has not changed, and it will never change. And the gospel of Christ is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, as we heard on Thursday night. What should be our response as believers tonight? We should get on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, cause the gospel to go forth with power again. But what if you're not a Christian? Well, I have a wee verse that I want to leave with you tonight, just for something for you to chew on and something for you to take with you as you leave this service. Because we read in Hosea chapter 13 and verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Friends, as we look at our nation tonight, we could say that our nation has destroyed itself. But in the Lord is our help. The Lord, the one that we have so shamefully treated as a nation and turned our back upon him, he is so full of grace that he is still waiting in the shadows to receive those who will turn to him. And he's still waiting to have mercy upon this nation. He does not want it to go beyond the point of no return. And friend, he's waiting to have mercy upon you. And you, by your sin, have destroyed yourself, but in him is your help. In who? In the man at God's right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you turn to him tonight? Oh, my dear friends, if anything ought to cause
sinners to turn to Christ, it is what happened last Monday night. I mean, who knows, it could happen over here. Let's turn, please, to number 70. I feel it's an appropriate hymn to finish with. If you want to use the hymn book, it's number 70. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Let's stand to sing.